Bill Spadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia, as the song says. And yes, I am digging in with you. A lot to get to on this. What is it? Tuesday morning, Eric?
And is it only Tuesday?
It's only Tuesday. It's only Tuesday. And let me tell you, I was cold this morning. It was like 46 in my car.
Yeah.
What the hell was that about?
I had to let one of the dogs out early this morning.
Yeah.
It was a little chilly.
I was a little surprised.
When you're going to come in.
But going to be 90 by the end of the week, so we'll be fine. Now, that temperature won't matter to the folks detained in Delaney Hall because they've got very comfortable climate control, three square meals. I want to thank and publicly acknowledge Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Thank God there actually is an adult in the room in New Jersey politics. Go figure. He went to Delaney Hall, came back. He's like, yeah, they're doing really well. Three meals, medical care, dental care. I mean, come on, hot showers. They are literally living better than a lot of folks in Newark public housing.
Oh, no doubt. Better medical care and everything else. And,
they're doing better than some of our working poor across New Jersey.
Absolutely.
We're working three jobs to make ends meet.
Yeah,
My God, cross the Rio Grande and get three hot meals and showers and everything else.
And I loved his comment, to his Democratic colleagues is, take a lie detector test. Let's see who's telling the truth about the conditions inside.
I love that. Well, you kind of knew it when Andy Kim came out and made it about the pepper spray and the ruckus outside. It had to be because he went in and thought, oh, okay, my narrative can't continue because it's simply not true. You have done a good job of crediting our state troopers, and I'm glad that you're doing it because it's real. It was the state police that really put an end to the violence. And, the protesters, the agitators pushed too far.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we learn the most, right? And even though, your socialist Democrats like to push back on it and say, these are organic protests. These are local people that are just fed up and they are not going to take it anymore. 61 people were arrested Sunday night by the state police.
How many agitators?
The vast majority of them. And we're talking about San Francisco, Brooklyn, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Kentucky, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, Washington. Only a small number were New Jersey residents.
Right.
And it confirms what you and I and so many suspected as things spiraled out of control. The significant number of the people that were involved in the chaos came here from somewhere else. And they didn't come here to engage in a thoughtful civic debate.
No, it was clear it was a disruption tactic. This is the Soros-backed groups have been doing this for many years. Honestly, it goes back to, even really before George Floyd. I mean, it really goes back to Michael Brown, the Michael Brown case in Ferguson, Missouri. I mean, the disruption, the riots, the violence, the destruction of property, the endangering and pushing back on law enforcement. And, you had pointed out this morning, we were talking off air, that the minute the agitators took those barricades and started to ram the cops and push, like that was it. Our state troopers aren't going to take that crap. And I got to tell you, Eric, I'm not giving Mikey Sherrill any credit. She did not do this as a proactive, thoughtful leader. She did it in a panic and said, oh my God, this is going to get out of control. After she was on the ground on Memorial Day. Stirring the pot.
Well,
I'm told
that she did not give the order for the state police to clear the area. They were standing orders. They were following their procedure. It was the commanders on the ground.
Yeah.
And that she had some sharp words for the state police superintendent and the attorney general when the state police cleared that area. And the one thing I will say about Attorney General Jen Davenport, and I know you have issues, and there's certainly issues to be had. When it came right down to it, she did have the backs of the state police.
Yeah.
And pushed back on the governor and said, well, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
This is what they're trained to do. So, you know, credit where credit is due. I will give her credit for having the troopers back.
I think that's a fair assessment. I do think it really shows that, you know, with the state troopers in New Jersey, I mean, this is a quasi-military organization. You know, many have called it a paramilitary group. They're highly trained, very skilled. And, you know, this is, as you said, this is what they do. So the fact that they could get the job done and the attorney general understood that that job had to be done is a good thing.
Well,
I mean, look, shame on the governor, though, for using the troopers and the agitators and the detainees, quite honestly, as all political pawns to spin some bizarre left-wing narrative that's anti-Trump.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, and it's, I'm sure you'll have much more to say about that. I just want to take a moment and put the focus back on the state police and the elite training. I mean, look, you're a Marine.
Yeah.
You went through basic training. That's not easy.
Right.
I've had Marines who are now state police say that was a cakewalk compared to Seegert.
I've heard that. The state police training is super intense. These guys go through a lot.
And you saw that. I mean, the violence happened. The barricades were lifted. And when I talk about barricades, those things that kind of look like bike racks, when they picked those up and started pushing on the state police, their elite response unit moved in immediately. Those are the guys that have the big shields, the big plastic shields. That they moved in immediately, pushed back, cleared them out, made the arrests. And, you know, there were some of these protesters, agitators from out of state, who said, yeah, we were at some of these other protests. We've never seen a response like this before.
Yeah, I think, thankfully, we have good law enforcement in New Jersey. And you know, and credit to the state police, you have helped now undo the narrative. The left-wing narrative ends with the fact that you arrested, what, 60 people and you know, showed out-of-staters coming to cause trouble in New Jersey. I can promise you, the guy from San Francisco didn't know where Delaney Hall was, couldn't find Newark, New Jersey on a map, but somebody told him where to be and when to be there. And now the game is up, and I think it's time for Governor Sherrill to issue an apology for her actions, which were a complete disgrace and slap in the face to veterans and any patriotic American that values the reason behind Memorial Day, to use that as a protest day to stir the pot and get people all ginned up and have an end in arrest. And what did I tell you guys? What did I say when I came back on Tuesday? I said, if you are a protester, you are a pawn in a bigger political game. They're using you. They don't care if you get arrested. They don't care if you get beaten down. Quite honestly, they don't care if you get killed. And you got used. You think Mikey Sherrill's going to have to do time in lockup? No, idiots. You are. All 60 of you. Was it worth the payday from George Soros? I doubt it, because now you've got a record. Now you're going to be in jail. Now you got to pay for a lawyer and sort it out. What a bunch of dummies. But this is what the left does. They use you for their own designs, and it was all based on a lie that conditions were bad inside of Delaney Hall. Now we know beyond any doubt that those conditions are better than what most people are experiencing in lockups, county jails, state prisons, and public housing. Go figure. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 617 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey. 101.5.
623 on New Jersey. 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey. Taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. So I think you have to now look to see what the next theater is going to be for the far left. And Mikey Sherrill failed on this one big time. Tried to make Delaney Hall in Newark, the ICE detention center, a focus and center of controversy. And the problem is that facts are truly stubborn things. And, you know, had the conditions inside been bad, unsanitary, unhealthy, dangerous, then she would have had an argument. But, you know, Mikey, here's the advice. I mean, clearly you're a novice at this political thing. Find out first. Have someone give you some facts before you jump. You jumped, and now you look stupid. And thankfully, the state police came in and bailed you out by shutting these agitators down. But, guys, it's not over. We're in a protracted, long-term battle with the far radical left. The radical left wants to tear down your culture. They have infected this country with millions and millions of people that should not be here. When Joe Biden opened the borders, allowed all these folks in, there's only one reason why Mikey Sherrill, Gavin Newsom, and the rest of the left-wing cabal stand up for illegal aliens over Americans. It's because they know that the liberals and their weak counterparts on the Republican side, once they allowed driver's licenses for illegals, once they allowed the conversation about amnesty, like Republican Congressman Mike Lawler in New York, who's likely going to lose his seat, and he should, total compromiser, total sellout. Once you have complicit Republicans focusing on amnesty, now you're done, because you know a lot of these illegals are voting. And for Republicans to talk about voter integrity and at the same time go after Trump on being too hard on immigration, that's not sustainable. So we have an enormous problem. This fight is not over. And watch for the Republicans to panic ahead of the midterms, because they're losing a tremendous amount of ground. Supreme Court tried to help the Republicans out with rightfully striking down the these race-based district lines, and that was good, and that's probably saved 8 to 10 Republican seats. But, you know, the margins are super thin. You're talking about a six-seat majority. So 4 seats flip, that's it. The Democrats are in control. And the problem is that there's no consistent Republican message. Where are the Republicans shouting from the rooftops about impeaching Mikey Sherrill on what was really an egregious abuse of her power as governor to go and stand with these agitators outside of a legitimate federal law enforcement facility that could have gotten someone killed? It was irresponsible at best. It was dangerous at worst. And thankfully, the state police bailed all of us out, because nobody wanted to see more violence. But it's really important that you pay attention to this. If you are an angry liberal and you're pissed off and you hate Trump and you're suffering from Trump derangement syndrome, stay off the streets, because you will be used in this game to catapult some of these politicians who have nothing positive to offer. Let's face it, Mikey Sherrill has nothing positive to offer the state of New Jersey. She's not a competent manager. She spent some time in the Navy, in Congress, but this is just basically we've got a DEI governor who checked a lot of boxes, got the job, and now look what we have to show for it. Are you doing any better now? Is the budget any lower? Is the debt any lower? Is your cost of living any lower? Are your streets any safer? Is the infrastructure better? No, none of those things. None of those things. It was all campaign rhetoric, and now here we are. So my question to you is, it's election day. It's primary election day. Are you completely disconnected from the process? Do you think we can vote our way out of this? And if so, where are you turning to look for answers right now as we continue to drown in this crisis of affordability and lack of public safety? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 6:28 is the time. Eric Scott with the news. 6:37 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. I did give Governor Sherrill the benefit of the doubt. Don't you think, Eric? I thought I was pretty nice about it the first few weeks. I gave her credit for something. Now I'm trying to remember.
The response to the storms.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Yes, I thought her response to the storms was very good. And it was a good first test, because Murphy had the test. He failed. He was out whining and dining in Red Bank, and the rest of us were sliding all over the roads for hours on end. And then Governor Christie, through no fault of his own, was stuck in Florida during his first snowstorm. So
She got, I think I gave her a B minus on that, but that was pretty good. I mean, considering that she's a liberal Democrat, I thought, okay. But then things just started to slip away. And I think, you know, it's interesting, and you and I have had this conversation, that part of the problem in New Jersey is that we have not had a truly competent executive manager since Chris Christie. And before Chris Christie, I think you got to go back to Jim McGreevy.
Yeah. John Corzine kind of understood. John Corzine was not a bad manager. He just had bad policies.
Well, and he was also a bit of an agitator himself. I'll never forget the big negotiation with the CWA. It was him on the State House step saying, we will fight for a good contract.
Right.
I'm like, no. You're the governor.
You're the other side.
You're management, John.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But at least, you know, given his experience, he did have the ability to manage his cabinet. You may not have agreed the direction he was leading them in, but he had the ability to do that.
Well, it didn't feel as chaotic. This feels a bit chaotic to me, especially with the Delaney Hall thing. And I think for me, the scales tipped when she stood there on Memorial Day, ginning up the crowd, and had to know that it was lies. I mean, did Andy Kim walk out there and like whisper to her, like, it's actually, I sat and had a meal because the food's pretty good in there?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny because even now past her 100-day mark and everything, I still don't know what to make of Mikey Sherrill. She has really no executive experience.
No.
You can tell that her military training comes out, particularly with the precision with which she keeps her schedule on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. That's a discipline that anybody gets in boot camp.
Yeah,
I
get that.
Any grunt can keep a time schedule.
But I think that she's struggling to learn the job from a managerial standpoint. Now, she did bring in qualified staff. She did not have the Phil Murphy socialist litmus test. You know, the only qualification you had to have to be a member of the Murphy administration was you had to have drunk the Kool-Aid. You know,
you could tell. I mean, the pick of Chris Calori at New Jersey Transit was a brilliant move. I mean,
absolutely
carried over the right guy that understands. I mean, and I offered my condolences when he took the job.
I did too. And he
I'm like, Chris, you have any idea what you've just taken on? But he's a good guy and he's doing his best. And, you know, it's not his fault that the infrastructure's falling apart.
But
Democrat policy for decades has let it happen.
And again, you know, you give credit where credit is due. You don't like the politics and policy of Attorney General Jen Davenport, but she is so much more qualified to be Attorney General than who Murphy had.
Yeah.
You know, so even though there is and you have to expect that there is going to be an alignment of political agenda, and we said this during the campaign, you know, Mikey Sherrill is not a moderate Democrat. She is absolutely on the socialist spectrum in terms of a Democrat.
But she campaigned as a moderate, and that's
the
challenge. She campaigned as a near Republican when she ran for Congress.
That's right.
And the stupid Republicans in Morris County let it happen because they decided that they hated Jay Weber more, and they torpedoed their own guy in that election, and she won in a walk.
But she is bringing in people that arguably are qualified to hold the positions that they hold. Now, are they in alignment with her politics? Absolutely. You'd expect that. Not all of them, but most of them are.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even Chris Calori is a Democrat.
Yeah, he's not a communist, though.
He's not a socialist.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that is, so from the standpoint of her, she is bringing in people that are more qualified to be in cabinet positions than Phil Murphy ever did in 8 years.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Look, I've said this publicly. I think we have to go back to Jim Florio. I think Jim Florio is one of the most underrated governors we've ever had.
Yep.
You know, right? Had we followed through, had Whitman lost that race, I think the Republican Party would be functional today and the state would not be broke.
Well, and
Christine Todd Whitman is the reason this party completely went off the cliff, and we've been suffering for 35 years.
Well, you can take almost every one of the fiscal deficits that we have, whether it's pension, whether it's health care, whatever, you can trace a direct line back to Whitman's policies.
Yep.
Florio's problem was He had such an arrogant legislature and didn't sell his idea. I mean, look, and it's not very popular among our audience, but I've done the projections that if we had continued the fiscal policies under Jim Florio, we would be a prosperous state, yeah, not a state perpetually in deficit.
I 100%, I've said it publicly, you put the numbers to it. It's just, look, facts are stubborn things, guys. Yeah. We've said that. Let's go to Mike in Freehold. What do you got for me, Mike?
Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
We had you guys come to our election integrity group in Freehold. I don't know if you remember at the diner. We had a nice size crowd for you.
Oh, yeah. Was that last year? It was, no, 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, I remember. So what's right. going on, Mike? What's your take on what's happening today?
Well, Mikey Sherrill is nothing but paid for opposition. You know, there's no way this woman got more votes than any candidate in New Jersey's history.
Well, it's Joe Biden, right? Joe Biden got more votes than any presidential candidate in history. I know. It's a game they play.
Right. Which is why I was starting the election integrity, because you're going to tell me she...
Well, let's face it, Mike. Mike, let's face it. Go back to 2021. You know, Jack and his NJGOP cohorts raised a ton of money to challenge ballots that we knew were fraudulent, and they dropped it. No word on what happened to the money or how many of his buddy consultants made off with tons of cash. I don't know what happened to the money, but I do know that many of our friends who contributed didn't get any money back, and there was no fight. There was no fight, Mike. They never challenged anything in 21 in a three-point race. Exactly. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Right. That's the uniparty at work.
Yes.
And I believe they sabotaged your campaign.
Well, no. Let me tell you what they did. With my campaign, it was very clear. The billionaire class wrote hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars that they gave to Trump's PACs, that they gave to Kellyanne Conway. I mean, they spent millions of dollars attacking me as a liberal Trump hater. I mean, really, it defies logic the way I was painted. But look, that's what they do, which would have been fine if they were speaking the truth. The problem is what they did was, by spending all the money and lying about so many things, they undid their own opportunity in the general. 600,000 Trump voters from 24 stayed home in 25 because they knew Jack was a fraud. Jack and the NJGOP are controlled opposition, Mike. They are there to take the scraps off the table. And Chitterelli's going to run again. He's already making the rounds. He's going to run again in 29. It's the same cabal, Mike. And you know what's funny? How else do you explain that they literally told us they do not want my help? They didn't want my help. They didn't want to come on the show. They did not want me involved in any way. So instead of unifying the party and pulling in the Trump folks and the pro-lifers and everybody, no. Nope. Scorched earth. We're going to continue running a primary campaign into the general. And Mike, I know there's cheating. Maybe there's 2 points of cheating, maybe 3 points, maybe even five. There ain't 15 points of cheating. Uh-huh. That's just a loss. That's a loss. Right. So anyway, here we are. Yep. Hey, so, man.
Can I make one more pause?
20 seconds.
Can I pause Jason Cullen and Richard Tabor for U.S. Congress? Jason Cullen for District 3. Congressional seats, great America first, New Jersey first, family men. Vote for them.
I know Jason. Jason's a good man, no doubt. And I think Rich is a good man, too. You got two good guys. You got Justin Murphy and Rich Tabor running for the Senate. But, yeah, Cullen's a good guy. I hope he wins today. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you. 6:47, traffic and weather next.
Start your day with Bill Spadia. Keep it going with Judy and EJ. Ride home with Dubinsky and more. We're New Jersey 101.5.
6:54 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. On the other side, I want to ask you. There was a story yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. A United flight on its way to Mallorca, Spain. So you got to figure, a plane full of people leaving Newark, all excited to experience a beautiful summer season vacation in Spain, and 4 hours into the flight, the pilot makes a decision to turn around and go back to Newark. Now, this is an 8-hour flight. The reason is because there was a Bluetooth connection that was spotted by one of the passengers. You know, when you open your phone and you look to connect, it lists things that are around you. Well, one of them was labeled with a 4-letter word. Caused the plane to turn around. I'll tell you what the word was on the other side of the news and ask your opinion if you agree with me that we have gone completely mad when it comes to airline safety and we're no longer following anything close to common sense. A 4-letter word turned a plane around halfway to Spain. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. The time is 6:55. The news is next with Eric Scott.
For the best of New Jersey, live hosts and timely traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Tune into New Jersey 101.5.
7:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, yesterday, Maggie from Hillsborough had a birthday. Maggie, happy birthday. Belated. I missed it by a day, but just heard from your big brother, so congratulations. Another trip around. I love it. Eric, I don't know if you heard this story. I'm sure you heard it. I don't know if we reported on it. I'm getting inundated with so many ridiculous news stories these days. So flight takes off from Newark, flying to Mallorca, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
It's an 8-hour trip. 4 hours into the flight, somebody alerts a flight attendant that one of the, you know, when you turn on your phone, it searches for Bluetooth devices. One of the lists in the list of Bluetooth devices came up. There was a 4-letter word that caused a passenger to alert the crew to say, hey, I'm not comfortable with this.
And it's the 4-letter word you don't ever use when you're on a flight or boarding a flight.
Right. So the word was bomb.
Yeah.
Now, I understand, we all kind of know, we've been conditioned after 9/11. You don't say bomb, you don't make
jokes.
You don't
joke about it.
Uber over,
nope.
However, it turns out, this was a 16-year-old kid who had a Fitbit.
Uh-huh.
And he named it years ago, and he said, you know, I forgot about it. So the pilot comes on the PA and points out that somebody has an inappropriate, they think it was, maybe it was a joke, it's not funny, I am turning the plane around.
Turn it off, or I'm turning the plane around.
Yeah.
The plane around, yep.
So, I think this pilot should be fired. And let me tell you why. This guy, first of all, the word bomb is not going to blow up a plane. I'm just saying it, if it's on the list, when you identify who it is, the word itself, one, you can discover immediately that the 16-year-old kid in the Fitbit, which got through security, which went through the screening, was not, in fact, a bomb. And it was 4 hours into the flight. Here's my thinking. You screwed every one of those 200 people on board because in 4 hours, you would have landed in Mallorca. So he just should have kept going. Like, I get it. Alert law enforcement if you think there's a threat. I think we've gone mad, Eric. I think that, and I get it. I just think it's like, he knew it. When I heard the pilot, he sounded so pissed off.
Yeah. No, he did. Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, he's exercising a little bit of ego here because he even mentions in the announcement, it's not an appropriate joke. The stupid kid was like, not trying to make it a joke. It wasn't even a joke. From what I understand, and there have been no charges. They didn't arrest the kid.
No.
Can you imagine this 16-year-old kid confronted by teams of law enforcement when they got back to Newark?
Well, I understand that everybody had to leave their phones and their electronic devices
on the plane.
So
yes.
That they could identify which was which. God. Yeah, it's insane. When I first read that, I was like, oh, how stupid.
I reacted that way, too. I'm like, what a dummy.
But then when I hadn't considered what you just mentioned, which is it's an 8-hour flight. You're 4 hours into it. If you're going to do a 4-hour turnaround, just keep going.
Just keep going. You're going to land the plane anyway. Let me tell you, God forbid it was a bomb. You're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
There was nothing you were going to be able to do.
You couldn't do anything anyway. And this is my problem. Like, I think so much of our security is just theater. Because I have Global Entry, which means I have TSA PreCheck, which means I get the digital, what do they call it? The face scan. They take my picture. Yep. So theoretically, I don't have to show anything. I don't have to take off my belt, my shoes. Although totally inconsistent, by the way. The only thing that's been consistent is I have not had to take my shoes off. But I have had to remove my belt, jacket, hat, watch, empty my pockets. Yeah. It's happened a couple of times.
Huh.
I think I'm on a list. Jody was on a list for years. We literally, she would get pulled out of line. Now, I'm just going to say my wife does not look like a threatening potential terrorist. Just throwing it out there. She would get pulled out of line. We were flying back. We got upgraded. This is unbelievable. We're in Rome for Michael's confirmation. And so years ago, we are at the gate. They pulled her out. And we had to go to a separate room to have a private screening. I'm like, we've already been through security. So the Brits, this is when we the next trip back to London, we just asked. We're like, why? Why are we pulled out of line all the time? It turns out Jody's name was put on a list.
I'll do you one better.
How about that?
My son, my youngest son, who's now, you know, a practicing lawyer.
Yeah.
When he was a toddler, he got flagged by TSA in Orlando coming back from Disney.
Yeah.
Because his name was on a no-fly list.
Yep, there you go. How old was he?
He was in kindergarten, maybe. He was
Jody five, and Alex, two potential terrorists. Get him off the plane.
When Alex was, he was that age, he looked like the little blonde kid from Jerry Maguire. He had the spiked blonde hair, and he had the round glasses. Ooh, and
you got to watch him.
And they were not going to allow him on the plane. And finally, we got a supervisor that came over and basically overrode the rest of TSA, and we're like, yeah, we're pretty sure he's not a terrorist.
Right. But that's exercising a little common sense.
But what we had to go through to clear his passport, because when they created the first no-fly lists, they didn't include a middle initial.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he had a relatively common name. And so... I said to the supervisor, I said, does that mean that everybody with that name is on the no-fly list? And she said, yes.
That is so insane. Well, that's what it was. And this is an American problem.
Yes.
This, just so we are clear, the Brits have figured out a way not to have this be a problem. The Italians have figured out a way. The Germans.
The Israelis.
Yes. Maybe even the Russians. I don't know. You can't go there right now because of the sanctions and the war. But it's an American problem. We are becoming a very stupid country. I'm going to be very blunt with you. I hope the 16-year-old sues United. I hope his family sues for the inconvenience, for the hassle, and the, in my opinion, violation of his First Amendment rights. The pilot had no right, in my opinion, to have him turn that off because he didn't like the word his Bluetooth was called. I mean, it takes all of 5 seconds to determine that the word bomb was not connected to an actual bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, and let me say this. I'll add one more thing. If it was, then what the hell good is all the freaking security before you get on the plane? What are we doing? It is security theater. I'm sick of it. I think the pilot should be fired and United should be sued. Now, in an unrelated story, I was denied my refund on my delayed flight.
No
kidding.
Yes,
I am so mad. I have cleared my schedule this afternoon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm all in. United, here I come, boys. Get ready. I am so mad. So maybe it's a little bit of a buildup with me. But you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I had a 24-hour delay on the front end, and on the back end, another 3 hours. You have got to be kidding me that these airlines get away with this kind of nonsense. And now this kid gets to be treated like a terrorist. Hey, guys, if you're listening, I think you ought to sue United. I hope there's a lawyer listening. What kind of case would you have? 1-800-283-101.5. 717. Fast traffic is weather next.
Windows down, opinions up. New Jersey's talking all day. Call 1-800-283-101.5 to join the conversation. New Jersey 101.5.
724 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So the United flight turns around 4 hours in. Had 4 hours to go to get to Spain. Instead, the pilot goes 4 hours back to Newark. Everybody on that plane should get their money back. And I think United should be sued. I hope the kid who had the Fitbit sues them for a violation of his rights, his civil rights, and his First Amendment rights. The idea that a pilot turned a plane around because he was a bully and arrogant and angry because some kid had the word bomb as his Fitbit label is arguably the dumbest thing that I've heard in, well, at least a few minutes. Let's go to Jason in Ortley Beach.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good, man. What's happening?
I don't disagree that the pilot may have overreacted.
Yeah.
But listen, the kid easily could have mitigated the circumstances, too. You know what? This is a 16-year-old kid that was told, do something. Yes, you have a First Amendment right, but you can't scream fire in a crowded movie theater, and you shouldn't get on a plane with the word bomb. If anybody should be sued, United should sue that kid. He easily could have stopped this whole situation.
Well,
everybody on that plane should have beat him to a pulp.
But see, that's the problem. That's what they want. That's why these big corporate profiteering companies, these billion-dollar international companies like United, they bully people, and the little guy doesn't matter. I think this kid is a folk hero. I think we should all consider renaming our Bluetooth bomb just to expose the stupidity. Because, Jason, at the end of the day, it's all security theater. Let's say, God forbid, someone was up to something bad on that plane. That tells me what I've been saying for years, that the post 9/11 security is nothing but theater. It's not making you safe. It's only slowing us down. The Israelis have it right. They do behavioral profiling where you are spotted by the time you park your car to walking through that airport. They don't have a problem at all. The Israelis have figured it out. The Americans are way behind because Americans fell for 6 feet of distance and a cloth mask. I mean, we're not the brightest people on the planet, as is evidenced by who we've elected in many cases. I mean, my God, we had a whole population, 80 million people, saying that Joe Biden was the best version of Joe Biden ever. This is a hard country to turn around when people aren't paying attention. And right now, I think it's time for them to wake up, start paying attention, and recognize that the word bomb isn't going to blow up a plane. But look, if you're on that plane, you're probably pissed off at the kid saying, just turn it off. Turn it off so we can go to our vacation. I don't know, man. I think it's time for somebody to stand up and say, I'm not going to comply with stupidity.
Fair enough. I agree with you that the pilot overreacted 100%. I just think, you know, this is also a problem with the youth today having no respect for authority. Like, there's an easy outcome here.
You know, Jason, interesting. I have said that too, and I don't disagree with you, but I think the reason the kids have no respect for authority is the authorities don't deserve respect. That's what I think. They act like idiots, and they force nonsense down our throats. I think it's time to stop respecting authority at many, many levels. And I say that from a corporate standpoint and from a political standpoint, that until the adults in the room start acting like adults, it's no wonder why kids throw their hands up and say, I don't respect you enough to follow your lead, because you know it's stupid. I know it's stupid, but you want me to do it anyway? I think it's time that people start pushing back. Maybe the future is in the quiet rebellion of the young people saying we're going to stop complying with idiocy. Anyway, thank you, Jason. Appreciate you. What are your thoughts? Have I gone too far? that we are not the dumbest country right now, reigning supreme over idiocracy? What do you think? 1-800-283-101.5. Prove me wrong on that. Because honestly, if you think the word bomb is an actual bomb, that's a bigger problem. 728. Eric Scott with the news next. 738 on New Jersey, 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Eric, today, I don't know if you know this, is Election Day. Actually, I think you and I may be the only ones who know it.
Yeah.
I don't even want to make a bet on the turnout. I'm just going to say, I think this could be the lowest in 10 years.
You know, it's funny. I tried to, you know, our friend Michael Rasmussen, who runs the Rebovich Institute, writer, I had him on my show last night, and I was trying to goad him into making a bet with me. And he would
Come on.
And
he didn't
would
take
not.
It?
No, he wouldn't take it.
What was the bet? Turnout,
so right? You didn't even get so far as to come up with an over-under. But I think the over-under was going to be like 10%. And I was probably going to take the under.
I was going to say 15.
Yeah.
Would you take the under? You would take the under at 10?
I would take the under at 10.
Wow.
For overall turnout? Yeah. I don't know. I might. That's one that I might be wrong on. And it's been a long time since I've lost a bet with you.
Let's make it 13.
I'll still take the under.
All right. I'll take the over. We're betting little bottles, right? Yeah. Airplane bottles now.
Yep.
In honor of United Airlines turning the flight around, we are now betting airplane bottles. I've got a stack of them. So I think I've got some scotch. I've got some Irish whiskey, some Jack.
That's
funny. All right. I'll take the. All right. So, Producer Thomas, would you record this as our first official bet of the spring season that will set the over under at 13%? I'm going to wish I had taken the under, but I'll, out of sport, I will take the over. But if I'm calling this, I think we'd be lucky to get 13% turnout tomorrow.
I
mean, I'm not hearing anything on the mail-ins, the early voting.
No. I had...
nobody cares.
I had a really good friend of mine call me yesterday saying, I haven't been paying attention. Who do I vote for? And I'm like, what town are you voting in again?
Yeah.
So I pulled up the sample ballot. There's nothing. I'm like, it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
Because
well, that's the thing. I've never had more Republicans asking me who I voted for in my time in media. I mean, I've been on the air from TV to here to, 12 years? And this year, I have had the... Now, maybe it's because I'm in a different category now because I ran. I don't know. But I'm the buzz of questions I get, up to even today, saying... Who do you like? It's because people are looking at their ballot and like, I've never heard of any of these people. And the problem is that all the candidates, whether you run for Congress, whether you run for the United States Senate, it's not their fault. They're all on their own.
Right.
They're competing in a world that Trump has made so toxic within the Republican Party that it's like the strategy is wait until Trump endorses you and that will guarantee you win the primary. But then you're on your own.
But and almost guaranteed that you lose the general election.
Tom Kaine has just sealed his fate. I mean, I don't think Tom ends up being the general election candidate. That's just my personal thought. I think that whatever illness, whatever is afflicting him, it is 100% inexcusable. I have called for him to resign. I think that it's absolutely inexcusable to be off the job like this.
Yeah.
We all feel for you, but if I get hurt in a car accident and I go on disability, somebody else is doing the job here. You're doing it. You know, like if something happens to you, someone's sitting in your chair.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're not just holding it open saying, hey, he'll be back when he's back.
Inexcusable.
Yeah.
So, and then the Trump endorsement, like now you get a Trump endorsement? Are you nuts? What is he, 32%?
And he's running unopposed in the primary.
But that will, there you go. He didn't need it, got it. Now they're going to hang him with it come November. I mean, how stupid do you have to be? But it tells me that Kane's not in charge. And I somebody else is calling the shots. And you know, for Trump, who maybe.
Well, but whoever's calling the shots wasn't elected.
Yes. I just, you know, Trump has managed to make every single thing in this second term about him. And I mean, even the America 250. So I had a great conversation last night with Vanilla Ice, So I had him on. I was in for Finnerty at 8 o'clock on Newsmax, and they booked Vanilla Ice. And, of course, Rob was upset because he was off last night. He's like, he wanted to interview Vanilla Ice. And I'm like, and I got it. So they were busting his chops, texting like, hey, Rob, Vanilla Ice only came on because Spady is here. That's anyway, funny. I opened it by saying, Vanilla, or do you prefer Mr. Ice? He's like, just call me Rob. So, but the we talked about this 250 because all these folks are leaving. And then Trump made the comment, why don't we just cancel the whole thing and I'll just do a rally? And basically Trump tweeted out saying, I'm the most popular guy in media and politics. Everyone will come to see me. The problem with stuff like that, if you take it a little tongue in cheek, and I'm going to miss Trump when he's no longer president because it is content every day.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a serious note, I think he's going to potentially take out two congressional seats in New Jersey with his attitude. We could be in trouble.
I see if it's not after this next election cycle, and it's going to depend on what happens with redistricting, I think you could be left with Jeff Van Drew as the only Republican member of New Jersey's delegation.
And when you get to one, zero is very close.
Absolutely.
Peter Blut and Pete Torkelson were the last two Republican members of Congress in Massachusetts. And if my math is right, they survived the Clinton years, and they survived 92, and I think they lost in 94 or 96, and there has not been a member of Congress from the Republican Party of Massachusetts since then. And I knew those guys. They were good guys. They were just normal, and zoop, right off the cliff. And, you know, Jeff's a good guy. He was the only adult in the room, as far as I'm concerned, going to Delaney Hall. Tom is absent. Chris Smith is scared of his own shadow. You know, he does what he's told by the party bosses, and they're going to redistrict him out anyway. Chris Smith doesn't survive the redistricting.
Well, he's in a safe district. If the district stays the same,
he never loses. Monmouth and Ocean County. He'll stay for 10 more years.
Right. But if they are successful in being able to redistrict that.
And Eric, who's stopping them? The Democrats have a literally a majority that I don't know how it changes. They own the assembly. They own the Senate. I mean, I don't know what would stop them. The courts, maybe. But if they don't do it along racial lines, then what are the courts going to say?
But the courts are already supporting the Republican efforts at redistricting. So, they're, you know, in the fairness of the court, there's precedent.
Right. So I don't know. When do you think they'll do it? I mean, historically, they're supposed to do this at the census.
At the census, yeah. Well, I mean, there's ways that they can wiggle around that because they can look and say, oh, well, you know, these borders were drawn incorrectly and they're not fair. And there's a way that they can do that. You know, the top of your ticket today is really the United States Senate race.
Yep.
And, you know, I was talking to David Wildstein about this the other day. It has been 84 years since New Jersey elected a Republican to a United States Senate seat. 1942.
What about Case, Cliff Case?
William Smathers was the last one. I don't think.
I thought Cliff Case got elected.
He lost his bid for renomination in the 78 primary.
But did he. Was his first election? Was he appointed to that seat?
Yes.
No kidding.
An actual election of a Republican to the United States Senate has not.
That's nuts.
Yeah, incumbents in that seat are 17-0. It's one of those things where once you get elected to that seat,
you never lose.
It's a lifetime job.
Well, I mean, Cory Booker arguably is a maniacal lunatic and screams and is unstable and clearly has a lot to hide, but he'll win by 20 points because he's got $22 million to spend. And the problem with the money in politics is there's no boundaries. There's no guardrails. You can say anything. And you know, they lie, and put millions of dollars behind it. And people don't peel back the onion. They take the soundbite. They're like, oh, that must be true.
Yep.
There you go. All right. Are you voting today? Today's an election day in New Jersey. Have you already voted? Do you think your vote matters? 1-800-283-101.5, 747. Traffic with the next.
Big Joe Henry is bringing you Jersey's biggest hits and biggest laughs every Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3. Plus traffic, weather, and all the fun only Big Joe can deliver. Big Joe Henry, weekends on New Jersey 101.5.
7:55 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank everybody on the app, especially those of you competing very hard to enter this week's 8-0 meter. We just had a late entrant. I'm going to hold on telling you who it is because there was plenty to pick from today. It's amazing how people get agitated and angry. Let me say this. I want to talk about this this United flight that turned around. Honestly, I don't think I'm alone in thinking this. So the 16-year-old kid has a Fitbit, and the Bluetooth connection was named Bomb, B-O-M-B, right? And somebody noticed that, I guess, when they turned their phone on and they saw it, they alerted the flight attendant, and all of a sudden, the pilot turns the plane around. Now, they're saying they gave the kid a chance to turn it off or whatever. I don't buy any of this. The word bomb as a Bluetooth connection is meaningless. The word bomb can't actually blow up a plane. I just want to be clear about that. I don't know if there was some confusion on that. And a Fitbit that got through security is not a bomb. And we can pretty much conclude that based on the fact that it went through security. And if it could have been a bomb, then the security is irrelevant. So I think the pilot for turning the plane around, this is a plane, an 8-hour flight to Mallorca, Spain. 4 hours into the flight over the Atlantic Ocean, he turns around and flies 4 hours back to Newark. In another 4 hours, he would have been landing in Spain. So I think he should be fired. And I hope the kid's family sues the airline, because I think this is nothing short of harassment. I think the entire TSA system is nothing short of security theater. You are not being kept safe because I have to take my belt off. Half the time I don't have to take it off because I've got the pre-check. So I go through the same line when we're in security. You take different lines to get through. So I go through faster because I opt in for the digital ID because I really don't care. They're tracking me anyway. My God, my phone is pushing ads based on what I say. Believe me, guys, take the picture. They know who you are. They know where you are at all times. But all of a sudden, I get in the line, put my stuff in the bin, and the guy next to me has to take his shoes off, but I don't. It doesn't make any sense. It's all performative. It's all theater. None of it is keeping you safe. So the idea that this kid is going to be shamed by all these passengers, they should have been shaming the idiot pilot for turning the plane around. He's the problem. Agree? Disagree? What would you do if it was your kid or you were on that flight? 1-800-283-101.5, 757. Eric Scott with the news next.
From your morning coffee to your ride home, Jersey's talking. Bill Spadia, Judy and EJ, Dominski and more, Eric Scott and Trev. Join the conversation on New Jersey 101.5.
A10 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. All right, so my opinion, perhaps not the most popular, but we're talking about the Newark flight to Mallorca, Spain. Pilot turns around, 8-hour flight, turns around 4 hours into the flight because some 16-year-old kid had a Fitbit where the Bluetooth name was Bomb. Now, look, I'm no aviation expert, I'm no security expert, but I am pretty certain that a Bluetooth label named Bomb cannot blow up an airplane. I don't know. Maybe I'm misinformed, but I'm pretty sure. Let's go to Tom in Milford. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, Bill.
How you doing?
2 points on this topic.
Sure.
For the first one, it seems like there's a possibility with international law that the American policies that if the pilot continued to go to the other side, to their destination, and then was refused by security or something there, what would they have to turn back around maybe after 8 hours, right? So there might be something about
that's a fair point, Tom.
Country.
That's a fair point. And I am reacting mainly to what I heard the pilot say over the PA. He just seemed pissed off and like, yeah, basically like, you know, get off my lawn. He sounded like the old guy.
If it's a power trip.
Yeah.
If it's a power trip, it's unacceptable. and they absolutely should sue left and right, and every single person on the plane should. But if it's not that, and it's more of, you know, international policy and maritime laws, other things, then maybe it's worth it.
Smart point.
The other thing, too, though, with these kids, I mean, when I was growing up, and I'm 35, 37, when I was growing up, we didn't do this kind of stuff, right? And we, well, maybe didn't have the technology, but we were also keeping ourselves busy with the things we were interested in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I worked very hard to buy myself a quad so I could go out and ride quads, right? And then I tried to find places that I could go ride quads and have permission to do so. And now it's like the kids just go out and they do whatever they want, wherever they want. And instead of telling these adults that are doing the cancel culture and all this other trouble that it's putting into the kids, maybe the kids should step up and say, hey, we should have a recreational center. We should have a sports activity place. You know, like, that's business opportunity that the adults can actually act on instead of the kids having to eventually do community service or fines or something like that.
It's a valid point,
they should
Tom.
Do community service.
Look, I mean, liberals were talking about this for a long time, saying that, you know, you want to cut down on some of the teen crime, you've got to get them activities. And it was Republicans and conservatives that went crazy. They're like, oh, adding a basketball court's not going to stop crime. But there is a valid point to getting the kids back outside. My first take on the Fitbit was at least the 16-year-old has a Fitbit. Like, the kid's clearly paying attention to his health, right? You got a bunch of fat kids running around this country with pre-diabetes. Maybe this should be the trend.
Not sitting behind a video game,
yeah.
That's a good thing. But
anyway, man, I got to jump. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate your call. Running a little behind this morning. Thank you, my friend. Joe, you hang in there. You'll be first on the other side. Traffic on the next 8:13.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePue.
8:21 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, 6-year-old kid with a Fitbit, Bluetooth is labeled bomb. Probably shouldn't get on a plane with anything labeled bomb. I get it. But 4 hours into the flight, some pain-in-the-neck, nosy passenger decides to report it as if it's a threat. And the pilot turns the plane around. 4 hours into the flight over the Atlantic, they had 4 hours to go to land in Spain. Instead, they flew 4 hours back to Newark. Honestly, I think the guy should be fired. And it's, you know, if there was some international reason or some protocol, but that's not what was said when the pilot got on the line, when he got on the PA system. He's like, he sounded, to me, just sounded like some angry dude screaming at a kid to get off his lawn. And he was insulted and mad. And I get it. The captain is the captain and in charge of the flight. And I understand all the discretion. But we've gotten full on stupid when it comes to security. You're not being made safer because you stopped some kid with a Fitbit and a Bluetooth label of bomb. You nearly wrecked a vacation for 190 people. And by the way, guys, a 9-hour delay is a long time when you're traveling and you got jet lag and you only have a 5-day window. That's why I'm going to block out an hour and a half, maybe more. United, I'm calling you at 11:15 today. We're going to see, because I'm sick and tired of being treated like crap from these big billion-dollar corporations. They act like they run your life. And you know what? It's there's a reason why we have to have a balance with regulation with some of these companies, because they're out of control. The problem is the regulation is part of the problem in the case of security. But honestly, I think most security is just absolute theater, and it's performative, and it's not making you any safer. Let's go to Joe in Lawrenceville. What do you think, Joe?
Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
I called you about three weeks ago about the 767 that hit the tractor trailer on the turnpike. Being that I was in the industry for such a long time, the FAA and the airlines, they take that very seriously, because when I first got hired, first I worked for Kiwi Airlines, and then I worked for Delta Airlines. Mm-hmm. They do not fool around with that, because the first thing they tell you when they hire you and they give you your badge is, do not say that four-letter word that begins and ends with a B, and don't say hello to your friend Jack, if you know what I'm saying. Do not say, hi, Jack.
That's funny. I got it. That's funny. You know, I get it, Joe, but maybe it's time for the airline industry to grow up. And let's start acting like adults, because the 16-year-olds are laughing at the adults now. No wonder why the kids don't respect adults, because they're afraid of a word. And it's absurd. This is why we can't have nice things. The guys that make the jokes, I've been in newsrooms for many, many years, and I can tell you that the gallows humor that goes on in the newsrooms, most people would be shocked. But then, like when you talk about President Trump and locker room conversation, et cetera, these conversations and inappropriate jokes are happening all the time. The idea that you could turn a flight around with 190 people because a Bluetooth label was named bomb. It's not like the kid stood up and said, I've got a bomb and I'm going to blow up the plane. In that case, I would say, well, they did the right thing, right? Duct tape the guy to the chair and fly back. I totally get it. Right. But it shouldn't be a gray area. It should have been like, hey, kid, is this your Bluetooth? Is this your Fitbit? Show me. I mean, in the old days, we used to have to open our laptops and turn it on. Do you remember that? You have to turn it on to show that it was an actual computer and not a bomb. What happened to that? It's obviously a Fitbit with a Bluetooth label. It should have been, okay, pass the cart down and I'll have another drink instead of now I'm flying back to Newark. Oh, I would be so aggravated.
But the thing is, though, and also not that I'm defending a pilot. I mean, I got along with some pilots I didn't. But he might be just following United company protocol. If it was an 8-hour flight and he was on the verge, they might have a company policy that says, hey, you know, if you have any situation like that and you're less than or halfway to your destination and turn around and come back because the flight originated in the United States, it would probably be easier for them to take any action in the United States instead of continuing to
stay. I get that. That makes sense to me. The last caller said the same thing. It does. It makes a lot of sense. But, Joe, let me just ask you this in the seconds we have left. Do you agree that we should be reevaluating our overall security protocols because it's gotten to a point, I think, of stupidity?
Oh, absolutely. And what the kid probably did was he probably just changed it to bomb right before he got on the plane. It was probably something else.
No, you know, actually, Wi-Fi. No, he actually said that it had been there for years when he first got the Fitbit. I mean, bomb, you're the bomb it's an expression that people use. It doesn't always mean I'm going to blow you up.
But unfortunately, because of 9/11, you know, after that happened,
it's time we get over. You know what? I'm going to say a radical thing. It's time we get over 9/11. It's been 25 years. We need to grow up as a country. We need to stop being so damn scared of every damn thing. This is why they got you to comply with COVID. This is why you walk around like you're a slave to the state. We have to grow up and stop being so scared. I mean, I started on this mission a long time ago when we taught our kids how to ride a bike without a helmet. That's right. Wouldn't let them wear a helmet. They were going to learn to ride a bike the right way and stop being so damn scared of imminent injury and death at every turn. We are trying to put our society in bubble wrap, and it does not work that way. And if you can't handle a Wi-Fi code of the word bomb, then we have no wonder why this country's in decline right now. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your call. 828, Eric Scott with the news. 8:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, Eric, we're talking about primary day today. I don't know how to call this race because I'm talking about the Senate race.
Yeah.
Now, full disclosure, I voted for Justin Murphy. He's become a friend over the years. Mm-hmm. He was very supportive of me. And quite honestly, one of the deciding moments was he was the only one who showed up at the New Jersey Right to Life banquet. And I take that issue very seriously, and I emcee the event every year. So it was an easy vote for me. That said, Rich Tabor, who was on the show yesterday, highly qualified, good guy, state trooper. And if Justin weren't running, Tabor would have my vote. Both good men. And both have secured a number of county organizational support. Now, the other two guys, I don't know the doctor running. I can't remember his name, actually, off the top of my head. But he got the support of the Lakewood VOD, and that to me is a disqualifier because I have met with them and I know how they operate. And once you get that endorsement, that means you sat in the back room with the rabbi and you said, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Yeah. So he's a non-starter. And then there's Zidane, who I had to work with at Chasing, and just a nasty guy. Doesn't really believe in anything. He's kind of like a guy in search of a race to run.
To win. He just wants to win something.
He just wants to win something.
Let me win something.
But he's got Monmouth County, and that's formidable. I think Tabor has Ocean, and Murphy has, I believe, Burlington, Camden. He's got a few. So I don't know. I don't know if you're – you had said it earlier. You could potentially win this Senate primary with 26% of the vote.
Yeah. No, I think so. You have four candidates, three of whom at least have – a solid base. So it's really going to determine, you know, what the get out of the vote effort is. But I don't think there's anybody that's even voting in this Republican primary for U.S. Senate that believes whoever the nominee is that they're going to be Cory Booker.
No, I think it's this is one of those set the stage for a future run races. Show that you can handle being a statewide candidate.
Right.
Prove yourself on the debate stage. And
I don't think there'll be a debate.
You don't think Cory Booker will take the line? He will just say no. Well, there doesn't have to be, right?
There's no rules like
governor.
It's not like governor. No, I fully expect that whoever the Republican nominee is, they're going to be dismissed out of hand by the Booker camp, and they won't even acknowledge that there's somebody else running.
Yeah, well, because if they don't raise minimum $3 million, it's a non-starter.
Well, and the national
National
Republicans, they may throw a little money here just to take a couple of swipes at Cory Booker.
Only to protect, I think, Vandrew and Kane.
Potentially, yes.
Right?
Potentially, yep.
Because Smith doesn't need help. He wins by default because of Ocean and Monmouth.
Yep. But there's nobody who believes that Booker's seat is even a toss-up. I mean, it is.
I got to say, though, Eric, that's why I'm kind of surprised there wasn't a self-funder or somebody who really does have aspirations to be governor someday. Or, like, you look at the race with Christine Todd Whitman against Bill Bradley.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she lost by, 2.5, 3 points.
Yeah.
And it catapulted her 2 years later to the governor's office.
But who?
Well, I can't name one. That's the problem.
Right. And that, unfortunately, is what you and I've been talking about for the last decade, and what I've been talking about for longer than that, is that you just don't have a Republican bench. And even when you start seeing some, younger, brighter, promising Republican candidates, the organizations generally won't support them.
Mm-hmm. You know who would have been an interesting newsmaker candidate for the Senate? Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he's going to run for president again, but I think he would have been interesting to watch because even though his poll numbers are terrible, a lot of that is based on his own brash attitude.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's also based on Trump. Trump just hates him so much and treated him so poorly. I mean, you can think what you want about Chris. I mean, I like him. It's, personally, I like the guy. And we, we had our battles. We know it. We had our battles on these airwaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for me, politics was never personal. It was, I'm going to fight you on what I think is a bad decision. We'll duke it out and we can go have dinner the next day.
Well, but that's part of what, I've been pushing for a long time is that you could, debate is healthy.
Yeah.
Policy disagreements are healthy,
right.
Especially when they aren't personal. You can have debate on policy. You can have debate, a fact-based debate on, what legislation or policy impacts are going to have. We can't have that now.
Yeah.
Because everybody comes from a position of anger and vitriol.
It's a shame. It really is. It's you and I have talked about it. I was looking forward. One of the guys I got along with the best on the campaign trail was Steve Sweeney.
Yeah.
And we had some really solid conversations. And we're not that far apart as you might expect on some policy. Because I told him, I said, you're kind of a Doge guy.
Did he get all upset? He's like, don't call it Doge.
He didn't like that. But he is. I had suggested this. One of the backroom conversations we had, I said, you know, if I win this thing, I bet Steve Sweeney would be the perfect Doge director for New Jersey. That the Republican apparatus would have had had a brain seizure if I
well, not if you
that.
Read, you know, the stuff that he's put smart. Out, you know, I mean, it's
he's the only guy talking about cutting.
Yeah. You have a couple in the legislature. I mean, you have like Assemblywoman Heather Simmons, who's a Democrat in Gloucester. You know, she wrote an op-ed and she has actually introduced legislation. Almost sounds like a Republican when she goes, you know, we're not going to solve the budget problem by increasing taxes. We need to grow businesses and business revenue and all of that. And, you know,
increase revenue through growth. I mean, Heather Simmons is one. But she's also a bit of a throwback. I call them Kennedy Clinton Democrats because they're not quite Kennedy all the way back. But even the Clinton Democrats, forget about the scandals and Monica Lewinsky and all stuff. It was kind of a normal time. I mean, I told you, I worked for Bush in 92, and our office on 15th was across from the Clinton office. And we would taunt each other with poll numbers on big white placards. And, you know, it was, but you would see them, you would see the Clinton guys in the at the coffee shop down the street.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The street vendor. I had one street vendor who sold fruit. I would buy an apple walking into my office every day. And, you know, there wasn't a hatred of the other side.
No. And that was the way it was in New Jersey a long time ago. But you mentioned Heather. Who was her political mentor?
Steve Sweeney.
You know, so it's
Sweeney would have been another good candidate to challenge Booker in a primary. Like, if you had a normal Democrat challenge Cory Booker, you might be able to normalize that seat.
Yeah, I think he's so soured on everything now that, you know, he's happy leaving, doing his union stuff and leading public policy.
Both parties have pushed out thought leaders.
Yes, exactly. Well, and my point is that you take somebody like Simmons. And, you know, Craig Coughlin's cabal is eviscerating her behind the scenes.
It's disgusting.
Because, you know, she's talking ridiculousness. Democrats, we raise taxes. That's what we do.
That's what we do. Right. And unfortunately, they raised, unlike Jim Florio, who had a tax hike that included hundreds of millions in spending cuts.
Yes.
No one gives him credit for that.
Right.
You could argue Jim Florio was as much a Republican as Chris Christie.
Fiscally.
Fiscally. Yeah, and this is the problem. But the thought leaders are, and I put myself in that category, you know, the cabal that runs the Republican Party, they didn't want my help during the general election. They don't want my help now. They won't come to events if I'm at the event. I mean, it's insanity.
Yeah.
And what's sad is all those articles that I wrote leading up to the general election got ignored, even though they were smart policy points that would have helped the Republican nominee. But because of the vitriol and the animosity, they can't get past it. It's the Democrats won't talk to Steve Sweeney. And, you know, Steve has a lot of really solid policy initiatives they should be listening to. This state would not be in as bad a shape if Steve Sweeney was still the president of the Senate.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
And you got the, you know, Ed Durr beats him in a whim because they weren't paying attention. And look what happened to that guy.
Well, but, you know, part of that was Murphy's fault because, you know, Murphy didn't like Sweeney.
Yep.
So he never put a decent message down there. And the teachers union, they hated him and dumped millions of dollars.
Millions.
I mean, the NJEA at one point supported a Republican against Steve Sweeney.
They hated him so much.
That's how much they hated him.
That's everything you need to know about Steve Sweeney. He was hated by the right people, therefore probably a decent guy. Oh, man. All right, Scott and Flanders, hang in there. I'm going to get to you first on the other side. Traffic and weather next, 847.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
8:54 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, it's election day today. Did you even know it? Scott in Flanders, what do you got for us?
Hey, Bill. Actually, you kind of answered my question a little bit.
Oh, tell me.
But that was what I was voting on was who is the candidate to look at now.
You're talking about the United States Senate.
It's definitely not Cory Booker.
No, and this is, see, here's the thing, though, that Republicans are now the party of, we're still going to watch the state get destroyed. It'll just be destroyed a little slower than the commie Democrats. But that's not good enough as a voter. And if we are going to appeal to the 2.5 million unaffiliated voters out there, folks like the 20-somethings, the 30-somethings that can't afford anything. We've got to do better than most of the Republicans in this state, and it doesn't help us if we just default take the any candidate that they try to shove down your throat. Remember, there's still a huge back room in the Republican Party, Scott, and they're doing a real disservice to the voters. That's why unaffiliated voters have a problem voting for Republicans. So in the four guys running for the Senate, the doc, his name escapes me, but he got the endorsement of the VOD in Lakewood. That disqualifies him because knowing these guys, he met with the rabbi. They told him exactly what he was going to do if he wins, and he had to agree or they wouldn't endorse him. So that's a disqualifier. The Zidane, he's a product of the Monmouth County organization and, again, doesn't believe in anything. I worked with him before. I don't believe he has any principles whatsoever. I couldn't support him for anything. Then you got Murphy and Tabor. Rich Tabor, state trooper, good guy. If Murphy wasn't in the race, I would have voted for Rich Tabor. Murphy is in the race. He's a friend of mine, a loyal guy, and the only one who showed up at the New Jersey Right to Life banquet to show that he was going to stand by his convictions and be a man of principle. So Justin Murphy earned my vote. What I did not do is calculate who could beat Cory Booker, because if you're asking me, gun to my head, nobody's going to beat Cory Booker unless a miracle happens and the National Republicans come in with millions of dollars. So that's for another conversation. But I think for some of these younger candidates, a Murphy, a Tabor, if they win the nomination, they have an opportunity to show themselves to be really serious contenders for another race in the future if they can perform well in the statewide race. Hope that answers your question, Scott. Thank you, man. Have a great rest of your day. Everybody else, hang in there. If you have questions about the election coming up today, the helpline is open. 1-800-283-101.5, 857, Genercillo, with your news next.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
Hey. 9:10 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. And I'll be here till 10 o'clock this morning. And I'm back. I don't know if you heard that promo, Jen.
I did hear it. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe that you are back.
There it is.
Then I look over and see the face.
And I'm back. And I'm still smiling. Still happy to be here. Hey, by the way, we're on YouTube. YouTube.com.
Oh,
we're back on YouTube.
All right.
And let's see if Jen Ursillo's in the frame. Nope, you are not.
How much further can I move? All right, where is Eric sitting? That
I don't
I am
know
not,
why. I
am not in frame.
Yes, Kathy.
She's in the frame.
No, she's not. Do I have to scroll?
She's in the frame. I can see her.
I can see her arm. What do you mean? Are you? Look what I'm looking at.
Come here. You want to leave your mic? Come around
right,
and look.
On,
it's
on,
right
on.
Here.
I'm leaving the
come
mic.
All right, hold
come
on.
Here.
We're swinging
look.
Around. We're
look.
Swinging around. He's looking.
Look.
I'm in. Am I in
How
frame?
About that?
Wow.
Do you see her now?
Maybe it's
She's
your
there.
So maybe
this
it's
a
your
user
screen.
Error on my part.
Does it not show on your screen?
It does not. I see Jen's hand.
Is it because you're in delay and she wasn't in the frame earlier?
No,
she is now.
I don't know.
Yeah, but that's a long delay. I don't think that's it.
Hold on. I'm all screwed up. I'm playing picture
it.
In picture now. I got all kinds of crap going on. Someone help me here. Look at
oh
this.
My
now
goodness.
It went black. The whole thing went away. All right. Well, Kathy's going to solve it.
Are we still even on the
Jen,
air? What did you do?
Jen, yeah. On a serious note, Ross Baraka is giving a press conference right now.
Yeah, he's...
riveting, I'm sure.
Talking about Delaney Hall and what the...
So what does he want to see it closed?
He wants to see it closed.
Yeah, you know why? Because it's embarrassing him because public housing in Newark and the jails are in such horrible, horrible, inhumane conditions that Delaney Hall is making him look bad. Because Jeff Van Drew went through, and I love it. He challenged him to a lie detector test.
That's great, the lie detector test. Take one.
Look at that. Now, Kathy just brought it back, and now I see Jen.
I don't know what you did.
What was wrong with it?
I don't know.
Was it a user error? Do you think it... I think there's a good chance that I screwed something up.
I would take that bet.
I wouldn't even bet the over-under on that.
He wouldn't even bet it because he knows.
Straight bet. Was this my fault?
But you see her. She's in the frame, and you can also see the chat, so... If anybody wants to talk to Bill, he
can
see it
now. I
can
now see the chat.
What did you do?
I don't know. Kathy solved the problem, though.
Well, yeah.
Why is there a purple light behind me? What is that?
Oh, that's
what?
The light from the news booth.
Is that you're doing?
Correct.
What'd you do, put purple bulbs in?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Why is there a purple light band?
I like it, though. I think it's a nice, it looks nice.
It's so, my signature color, so I have a purple newsbib. I probably should have turned it off before I came in here.
No, I kind of like it as a background. It kind of contrasts with my hat that I'm wearing. Like I like it. It almost, it's like, it is my background. Like I'm standing in front of this purple.
So the funny part is we can adjust the lights to whatever you want, whoever the anchor is on at the time. But for some reason, no one's changed it out of the purple.
No, I think
like
you should leave
it. After I'm done, I don't care. I want it. I leave it for me. What people do after that, I don't know.
I think we're going to have some bets coming on this.
Okay.
Like, what color do you expect to see tomorrow? What's on TV? And over under on Kathy's cups, will she have, we'll bet, we'll start at 3 and you can bet the over under on each day. Because today, I'm looking at 2 water cups and 2 coffee cups.
Well, we know she always gets 2
it's
coffee
only
cups.
One,
what's the white one? What's the white one to the left?
That's the oatmeal.
Oh, God.
She has so many. That's not Spadia approved.
No,
breakfast.
No. Oatmeal's for horses. The oats are for horses.
God.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Funny. I was food shopping yesterday, and I'm like, I'm mad at myself because I'm going through the aisles.
Certain read ingredients, right?
Well, not just that. And I kept saying, Bill would not approve of this.
If
I'm like, what am I doing?
If you just have one rule, here's the shopping, easy, safe, clean eating for dummies. I'm saying for the book reference,
yes,
I'm not calling you dumb.
Yes.
Cut out 3 things.
Go.
High fructose corn syrup. Do not buy any product with high fructose corn syrup.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, no products with seed oils. Here's what I mean by that. Cottonseed oil, canola oil, or if it just says general oil, you don't know what it is, don't buy
Stay
that.
Stay away from it.
And number 3, cut out added sugar. So a lot of people add sugar to a ton of things. If you cut those 3 things out, I am telling you, you're going to feel better. You're going to have more energy. You're going to sleep better. You're going to get your cortisol under control. Literally those 3 things.
I can do the first 2. The last one I have a problem with.
The added sugar.
Yeah. Well, I have a sweet tooth.
But see, now I am blessed without a sweet tooth. Kathy, I don't think you have a sweet tooth, do you? I don't ever see you eating like Danish or donuts or anything like that.
No, not that sugary. And I've gotten to where I can't even really drink orange juice because that's too sweet.
Too sugary.
Yeah, I don't
funny.
Like that.
That's funny you say that. I bought orange juice for the first time in a while.
Really?
I ended up throwing it away. It expired.
Too much.
Neither of us drank it.
Yeah.
How about that? It's too sweet.
I'm a chocolate person. I have to have chocolate.
Jody loves chocolate. But if you buy the dark chocolate, you're not getting the additives. Like if like a 70%.
I buy all kinds.
Like you want it, you know what's important about chocolate, Kathy?
Yeah.
Cacao.
Do you know that's where I was going with it?
Cacao. 9:16, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Deep discussions to lighthearted conversations. You're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
9:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. Hey, listen, on a serious note, and Jen, you'd be interested to know this. We've made a major change here at the radio station.
An executive decision has been made?
Has been made.
Okay.
And there's an article at nj1015.com/Bill Spady with a poll attached.
Mm-hmm.
I am now on a mission to rename the Joe Carillo's Bridge back to its original form, the Hubbard Bridge. And there may be a song.
Wow.
Well, it's time we rediscovered the Red Bank Family Hubbard. Their bridge days were numbered when the JKB got funders. But in spite of these generations, there's just one scratch to itch. Let's lose the JKB dedication.
The band really
band
took
went
it.
All,
yeah.
They loved it because here's why. So there's a serious lesson here. The Hubbard family, and it should be called the Hubbard Family Bridge. It's a long line of veterans, doctors, and one of the great-great-granddaughters called the show yesterday to represent the Hubbard family.
Okay.
Because I asked, I said, if there are any Hubbards out there, please call the show.
Yeah.
She is now going through all their lineage to trace her family back to Jacobus Hubbard.
Wow.
Who is buried there. Now, why is it important? Well, because the Hubbard family owned the land, but they were honored by their sacrifice in the Revolutionary War. So this goes all the way
back.
This
goes back.
Right.
Wow.
So enter Joe Carillos. The bridge is kind of in disrepair, needs an upgrade. So the way it works in Trenton, and I think people are starting to get the joke in Trenton. If you want something done in your town, the majority Democrats will say to the Republicans, okay, we'll give you a couple of bucks for your project, but you got to vote for the overall budget. So Republicans end up voting for these bloated, horrible budgets. Not all the time. Sometimes they hold firm because they get scraps in exchange. And I used to have this discussion with Senator Bob Singer, who was notorious for voting with the Democrats, because he would get a couple of coins to go back and say, well, I'm going to, you know, my constituents in Lakewood need a, you know, new auditorium or a new pothole fix, and I'm going to get those numbers and vote. So the challenge is the Republican Party devolved into, give me a couple of crumbs and I'll vote with you.
Right.
So Carillo's takes our money.
Yeah.
It's our taxpayer money.
Yeah.
They refurbish the bridge, they rebuild it, and they put his name on it. And nowhere in the discussion for 9 years has anyone brought up the fact that there was a Revolutionary War hero attached to that bridge.
How did no one bring that up? And he was just able to do that?
Yeah, the county, I guess it's a county bridge, and you know they're all owned by the back room. They're all the same cabal of losers.
He didn't do anything to deserve it.
He didn't do anything.
Right.
I write this in my article. I'm like, okay, what great thing did Joe Carillo's do to earn this honor? He traded his vote for scraps off the Democrats' table. That's what happened.
Okay, I got to tell you, I feel better now because I felt stupid at first because we're all celebrating Carillo's, and I'm like, why? What did he do?
Right.
What am I missing? And I was like, I didn't want to ask because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to come off so stupid.
No.
I was right.
You were right to
ask. He did nothing.
Nothing. So that's it. Joe Carillo's Day is now being retired. We're done with that. And
He didn't even make
it. I am hoping to celebrate Hubbard Family Bridge Day, the HFB. So we are now going to call it, it's kind of like the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah.
I never wrapped around my head on the Governor Cuomo Bridge.
That's ridiculous.
It's always been
Tappan Zee,
Will it be the same date or a different date?
That's what I was going to ask. When is Hubbard Bridge
Day? I want to do it either on the, I think on the birthday of Jacobus
Hubbard. So it has some significance.
I should probably know what that is. I'm going to look that up.
Watch it pass
already. Is it Jacobus or Jacobus? How do I say the guy's name?
Jacobus sounds right.
It sounds like I know what I'm talking about, but I don't know. I it could be Jacobus.
The great-granddaughter that called and didn't say?
She didn't know either. Maybe I didn't ask. I asked Eric because I figured
she couldn't trace that far back in her family tree.
I mean, it could be Jacobus, but Jacobus sounds pretty...
That sounds good.
Jacobus? All right.
Jacobus Hubbard sounds like a very strong... No, Jacobus doesn't sound right anymore.
Jacobus.
We're going with Jacobus Hubbard. That's his name.
What's his birthday?
I don't know. Because, again...
And they call him Jack.
Let's just say Town Square Management. Let's just call them Sam's team. The computer crashed again. So I'm going to wait till it is uncrashed, and
you
I will get those answers
Grok.
On the other side. Oh, I'll ask Grok on the break. 9:27. Jen Ursula with your news, Nick. 9:38 on New Jersey 101.5. And as the song says, I am back. All right. So, guys, my apologies, but we went down a whole Hubbard hole
today.
We went down the Hubbard hole.
But now I got what you had. So now
So you found it now.
Yeah.
All right. So just for context, everyone, I have been on these airwaves now. I started in 2014 with a little section called Bill Spady is New Jersey. Jen, you weren't here then. When did you get here?
2016.
All right. So it was when Jim Gerhart was the morning host, and I had a little 3-minute Spady is New Jersey and, provocative stuff, talking about the state, what to do to fix it, et cetera. Anyway, it is now 2026. So I am in my 12th year broadcasting on these airwaves, 11th year as the host of the morning show. For the last 9 years, we have celebrated a very little known holiday in New Jersey called Joe Carillo's Day. Well, the time has come to retire Joe Carillo's Day because it was all centered on his retirement from the state Senate. And As a result of what we assumed was some really great works by the good senator from Middletown, he had a bridge named after him. Well, it turns out the bridge in Red Bank, known as the JKB, was only renamed for him after he secured funding. But it's not like he went out there and raised money and wrote a check. And right. No, he just cut a deal in the legislature. So they're like, oh, Joe, you get a little money for this bridge. And Bob Singer, you get a little money for your project. And meanwhile, guys vote for the budget. So they do. So 2018, he's retired and the bridge gets named after him. And I came to find out, I didn't know this until a couple of signs appeared on the JKB saying Hubbard's Bridge. And we're like, everyone, like, what does that even mean? Hubbard's Bridge since 1878. So a couple of reporters did some digging, and then Eric and I went down a rabbit hole yesterday on this. And what's that?
Who do you think put the signs up?
Well, we don't know.
That's a mystery.
It is a mystery.
Is it somebody that's angry about you calling it the Joe Carilla's Bridge?
Like, well, I think it's somebody that understands now the real history of Monmouth County.
Right.
That the Hubbard family is a huge part of Monmouth County. I mean,
yes.
Middletown, Red Bank, they owned all that land. I mean, for all we know, they had the original bridge built. But there is a gravesite not far from the bridge. There's a marker, as I understand, near the bridge for Jacobus Hubbard.
Jacobus Hubbard.
Jacobus Hubbard was born in 1744, died in 1807.
Yep.
Jacobus was a surgeon and was a part of the Monmouth militia during the American Revolution. So this is a man who was dealing with and helping save the lives of wounded men who were fighting to liberate this young nation from Great Britain. And the best we could do is name a bridge after him. And for his part, Carrillo's comes along,
right,
cuts his deal on the money, and the bridge is now the Carrillo's Bridge. It is a slap in the face, not just to the Hubbard family,
yes,
but to all of America. As we get ready for the 250th anniversary of this great country, to know that we had a state senator dismiss a Revolutionary War family for his own ego to put his name on a bridge. Look, as they said in a great movie of old, you can say what you want about me, but I will not sit back and let you disparage the United States of America.
Name that movie.
Come on.
I don't know it.
Really?
No.
I need a patriotic song to play right now.
I don't know it.
You don't know the movie?
I'm sure I do, but it's just it's not ringing a bell. My God.
Animal House. The court scene.
Oh, my God.
You can say what you want about us, but we will not sit back quietly while you disparage the United States of America.
This isn't the one.
Is this the best we could do?
Is this it?
Wow. That was somewhat anticlimactic.
That just
Kathy, I don't think that worked.
That's not good. I don't think
that worked. Good. I think we got to do
A
like
for effort.
How about this?
We're making it worse.
We're making it worse.
Sorry. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break and try to figure out where the patriotic songs live in the library. But anyway, there is a poll up and a petition. I need you to please sign the petition. Yeah, no, that's a good one.
I don't know what's happening.
I think I'm rightfully going to draw some hate from this. Anyway, the point is that we need to restore the original patriotic name in honor of the 250th anniversary of this great country. The Carrillo's Bridge should be returned to its original historic name of great respect and patriotism, the Hubbard Bridge. And I would ask you to go to the website, nj105.com/Bill Spadia, click on the article, read the history, and sign the petition so that we can take that to, I'm sure, Monmouth County Board of Freeholders or commissioners now.
Yep.
As they ready to celebrate 250 they probably agree with us and would like to see it renamed the Hubbard Bridge. Do the right thing by this great country for all those that gave their lives so that we could live free. 944, Fast Driving Instant Weather next. Not without
a star. From the shore to your street, we're talking about what matters to you. New Jersey 101.5.
It's 9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. All right, guys, go vote. It is June 2nd, Tuesday. This is it, primary day, and there's a lot of ground to cover. Make sure you vote locally. A lot of great, great candidates out there. Rachel Rodriguez in Opatcong, Kirsten Light in Bernards Township, Mark Soporowski in Middletown. Tons of great candidates out there. Justin Murphy, U.S. Senate. Jason Cullen and others. So get out there and vote and have your voice heard. And if you are an unaffiliated voter, you can show up at the polls today and vote in either the Democratic or the Republican primary. Vote in one of them because the parties can't get better unless unaffiliated voters start turning out and participating. Just a quick wrap up. I think it's ridiculous that the United Airlines flight turned around on the way to Mallorca. They with the kid who had the Fitbit and the bomb label. So stupid. The pilot should be disciplined for that. That plane should have continued on to Spain. We need to lighten up as a culture and recognize that all this silliness and panic and fear over words is killing us. We are really, really getting stupid. It's all security theater. It's not making you any safer. Tomorrow I'll talk to you about Google and the 64 million mosquitoes that they are going to release in California and Florida if the EPA allows them to do it. And I implore President Trump and Lee Zeldin to deny this request. It is a really, really dangerous thing they're doing with the environment and your health. And if you're lining up for the Lyme vaccine, get your head checked first. 9:54. Got to get out of here. We have a petition up. Go to the website, nj1015.com/Bill Spadia. It's time to return the Hubbard Bridge to its great patriotic glory. See you tomorrow at 6.